proceeded on this item, which is our county administrator, Matt Gaffney, who has several things to go over. Matt, we'll let you take them in your order, and you may have the floor.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So if the commission is okay with it, I'd like to put the discussion of the county employee group, just keep it at 10 o'clock and then move in order from what's already on the agenda, if it's palatable to all the commissioners.
Right.
Okay. All right. So first agenda item is selection of the county health officer. We received one submittal from Dr. Fitzsimmons. I included his letter of intent in your packet. Pretty straightforward. I don't know if the commission has any questions on Dr. Fitzsimmons' submittal, but if so, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have. And again, this was the only submittal we received for the county health officer.
Any discussion?
Does he live here?
Yes, he lives. Dr. Fitzsimmons lives in Pinedale. Dr. Fitzsimmons has served as a county health officer in another county in the past. If you look at his letter and review, I think you'd find him well qualified. He is currently employed with the Rural Healthcare District, and to answer your question, he does live in Pine Hill.
Good. Looks good to me.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion we Dr. Fitzsimmons on as the county health officer.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to appoint Dr. Fitzsimmons as the county health officer and a second. Is there any discussion? If not, I'll call a motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries unanimously. And you'll be notified of Dr. Fitzsimmons.
I will, yes. Okay. Next agenda item is the selection of the owner's representative. We received two submittals to the RFP that the county publicly advertised. One from Forsgren, who is the current owner's rep, and one from Jorgensen. I included both of those submittals within your packet, along with a memo detailing my thoughts and recommendations. Again, those are merely recommendations. But yeah, thanks to both firms for those submittals, both highly qualified firms, and I'd be happy to answer any questions about the bidding process, the RFP submittals, or my memo.
Commissioners, any questions?
How long, Mr. Chairman, has Forsgren been with the county?
I believe since 2014.
Okay.
Matt, do you have an opinion based on the fee schedule for each one?
I did, and so my rankings, I believe I had Forsgren at a 93 and Jorgensen at a 92, and I would say Forsgren's rates were more competitive than Jorgensen's, just based on the hourly rate for project managers and senior engineers.
Okay. Much difference in the history of the two firms in terms of work accomplished in Southern County?
They're very similar firms. I would think that they're both very well qualified staff. Forsgren does have the advantage of being the owner's rep for the last 4 or 5 years. So along with that experience, they have more experience dealing with the county and county-related projects. That being said, Jorgensen has done a ton of work, civil engineering work, project management, not only in Sublette County, but Western Wyoming, and I view both of these bids as very competitive, and it's a tough call on the commission's part.
Matt, one of the things, Mr. Chairman, that I do appreciate is the rating system that you put together. It made it relatively easy to kind of make sense of that in terms of the way you did it. I like that very much.
Well, that was the intent.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's why you get the big bucks.
That's why you get the big bucks.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Unless there's, I don't hear any other discussion based on Matt's recommendation and the good job he did of comparing everything, I recommend we stick with Forsgren for the next contract. And my question to Matt is this, how long is this contract? Is
it I'd recommend a 3-year contract. I'd also, you know, if Clayton has any input one way or the other, I'd certainly defer to that, but that would be my recommendation is a 3-year term.
Mr. Chairman. I appreciate his 3-year suggestion, but I'd like to have a year extension if we so see fit at that time on there. So it could total 4 years if we choose so.
I think that's customary with what we've had in place in the past, isn't it? Where you have a certain term to a contract, but you have an automatic renewal, if you will, of 1 year at the discretion of the commission.
Yes, that's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Beckman.
So the only two things that I've had dealing with Forsgren, if you would, are with the library, which is fine, and for lack of a better term, the forget-me-nots on a $16,000 bill that they forgot to submit earlier in the year. The big piney thing was those folks down there spent $11,000 for a write-up of everything that they already knew about. So, in fact, they spent $11,000 for nothing. So I guess, from my standpoint, and just those two different things, I guess that my preference would be to go with the new guys on the block, so to speak.
Carrie, we had a motion. Did we have a second? Commissioner Bousman made a motion to...
I don't think we ever got to a second.
No,
we didn't. I'll second it.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. I know in the midst of Joel's motion, he was asking for further comment. I just wanted to make sure we had a motion and a second. So it was motioned by Commissioner Bousman to approve Forsgren as the owner's rep, seconded by Commissioner Noble. We have had some discussion. We heard from Commissioner Vickery. Is there any other discussion commissioners would like to make?
I'd just like to point out that it was a really competitive bid. I mean, they were really close, and the scoring system came out 1 point different. And after going through the two pay schedules and that, they were hard. It was a hard choice.
Yes.
And I still lean towards Forsgren simply because of their fees.
Any other discussion? If not, we have a motion and a second to approve Forsgren as the owner's rep. I'll call for the vote. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay. Motion carries 4-1.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, moving on to the road engineering services contract. Again, two bids, Rio Verde and Jorgensen. Both very, very capable firms. Rio Verde has been the road engineer, I'm not sure how long, but a long, long time. So they have that experience going for them. Again, I rated Rio Verde higher on my ranking system because of their experience, and I feel like their fees were more competitive than Jorgensen's, although Jorgensen has a wealth of experience in road engineering. So I included both these submittals again in your packets, so happy to answer any questions about the submittals or my memo.
And what was the difference in your rating?
I believe I rated Rio Verde in 97 and Jorgensen in 92. Okay.
Questions for Matt from the commission?
Same 3-year contract, Matt?
Correct, yes.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion we move forward with Rio Verde Engineering for the road services. Road engineering services.
I'll second, Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion and a second to select Rio Verde as a road engineering consultant. Do we have any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I think the only thing this system of rating them has really helped. It would be a very difficult job to just sit and read all this and then not have something to fall back on. With a third party looking at it. So I do appreciate it, Matt. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I echo your statement, especially for somebody like me that has little knowledge of engineering.
Yeah.
So I appreciate how this was put together. I welcome the opportunity for us to be able to have this discussion and have put out an RFP for these services. I think the process is right, and I think you've done good work at trying to get the information not only turned in but assimilated and presented to us. So I appreciate the rating system as well. Any other discussion? If not, we have a motion and a second to approve Rio Verde as the road engineering consultant. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Any opposition? No. Motion carries unanimously. Cool. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, moving on. The Hoback Ranches, HMGP grant. Jorgensen was selected as the engineer to perform the hydrologic study on that. There was an issue because when Wood did the initial survey, there was a bunch of snow on the ground, and then when Jorgensen did their survey, I believe, October or November before the snow flew last year, they identified numerous more culvert locations, and so that could potentially increase the cost and scope. And so the reason I wanted to visit with the commission is the federal match, it is what it is, it doesn't change, and so if the cost and the scope increased in the project, that would fall on the county to fund that. So the question is, do we prioritize culverts that have been identified in this latest study and stick to the original cost, or is there some desire on the part of the commission to perhaps expand the scope and cost? And Brian's here in the audience and can answer those engineering questions far better than I, but that's essentially the question before the commission at this point. With these new culvert locations, what's the commission's pleasure? Do we prioritize the culverts that were originally identified in the first survey, or is it increasing cost and scope acceptable to the commission at this point?
Before we get to that, Matt, could you review with us what the costs currently are? In other words, what the grant was allocated, the total amount, and what the county's participation in that grant, the dollar amount of that?
$567,000, and that's the total grant cost. Mm-hmm. And then the county would fund 25% of that, and then the feds would fund 75%.
So our portion would be, $137,000?
That's what I have.
$142,000.
That's,
and so what you're asking us, based on this information, do we go with the money that we've allocated and prioritize the culverts that need to be replaced, or do we consider additional culverts, which the cost would be passed on to the county?
Correct.
The entire cost.
And am I butchering any of that, Brian? Or?
No, we, I guess to clarify, we have ranked, kind of come up with a priority list on the culverts. There are some that, you know, are kind of a lower priority than others that could be left off if the money's not there. But as we were talking with Matt earlier, that at this time, you know, it's an estimate, and until you bid it out, you know, we don't know exactly what those costs will be, what we say they will be. But given the potential savings that if the county provided the culverts that was there, and then I know we haven't spent as much on the phase one portion as planned, there may be a little savings there that may not be accounted for in our estimate, if you will. So I guess our thought is that, you know, right now we're estimating maybe a little higher than what the budget was, but by the time you bid it out, you know, the project may come in and fit the budget. But if it's not, we can certainly trim culverts at that point and not, and just leave some out if you, if that's your desire. So.
So in your mind, it is very feasible to prioritize culverts.
Yes, yes, it is.
Commissioner Bausman has a question.
Mr. Chairman, I guess based on that input, my preference would be, rather than saying now we're going to pay for this, whatever the cost is, let's stick with our guns and with the plan to prioritize costs if we have to. We may not even have to. So I guess my preference would be wait till we get it out to bid and see where we're at. And there could be some of those that we can get by without replacing if we need to, and stick within our budget.
Commissioner Noel?
I'm trying to get used to this thing. So my thoughts are, is it working? Can't you put out the original packet in the bid with a secondary line item so they can bid both of them individually so we see what the additional culverts would cost? And if it all comes in under that said number, then we move forward with it. If it don't, then we prioritize.
Yeah, in essence, yes.
So I would recommend that as moving forward.
Commissioner Becker?
Mr. Chairman, I somewhat agree with Commissioner Noble, but if when this thing comes out and they've established which culverts may not need to be there, and then Mother Nature says they should have been there, then we have to go back, or somebody does, has to go back and fix the whole road because we've been negligent in fixing a culvert to a certain spot. I think we should see what those extra culverts may cost before we say no, and then if they come in way high, then we can say no. But in the meantime, we're going to invest quite a little money initially anyway. So if it's only another, I don't know how many it might be, if it's 8 or 10 more culverts, it seems to me like that would be money well invested to keep the project going.
It seems to me that's what Commissioner Noble was suggesting in terms of bidding this out and getting the cost of the additional culverts to look at. Do we know how many culverts we're talking about?
Off the top of my head, I can't recall. You know, maybe 10 to 15, I would say, at least out of the roughly 80-some culverts. So, and we've kind of prioritized them, I guess, you know, a low, medium, and a high priority. Obviously, the ones that are more critical or not, but there's several of the lower priority ones that we could easily look at taking off or not installing, or, you know, see what they cost when the bids come in and see what that additional expense is, if it is an additional expense at that point. I guess that's our recommendation.
Tom, you might state that over again, but based on what you said, it seems to be the, you know, an agreeable way to go in terms of looking at this and trying to get additional costs if we were to need it. So if you don't mind.
So, like, I guess my suggestion is the original scope of work under one bid tab, and then the additional under another, but it's all in the same packet.
Correct.
And that way we can compare them when we get back. I do have one other question for Brian. How many of these culverts are existing currently that you're going to dig up and remove and replace? It seems to me like if you prioritize, and then rather than dig one up and replace it, I'm sure there's some.
Yeah, and there's, Commissioner, there's not too many that we're actually digging up. And a lot of those that are there, if they're in good enough shape, we're either adding to it or you know,
sure,
putting additional up and down the road.
Okay. That would be my suggestion.
Mr. Chairman, my concern is that we have contributed to match the 25% to $142,000. And to go forward with the commitment, I would need more information about what we're going to do or what needs to be done before we decide we're going to jump in with another $100,000 or if it's $10,000. So I would like to wait and see when the snow goes away.
Any other comment?
I think the bid tabs would reveal them numbers for us. Once it comes back from bid, we'll have those numbers to compare, and then we can make a decision from there.
And that would include what was mentioned earlier in terms of making a priority, because some of them are low priority, might be foregone or gone for something of a higher concern in terms of replacements. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Would you be willing to take a comment from the floor?
Yes, Mr. Nemes, go ahead.
Thank you. For starters, the outfit that did the original work, Wood, down out of Denver, theirs wasn't based on reality. No one ever came here, period. And they were also talking cement culverts, which, of course, in this part of the world, nobody puts in. What they were simply, for purposes of achieving the grant, trying to do was achieve the cost-benefit analysis and all that. And they did do that, and they helped us succeed in getting the grant. It wasn't until Brian and company got out there and started saying, okay, you need one here and one there, whatever, that we really started having a concrete measure, so to speak, and a concrete, which shouldn't be the word I use, but a real measure. The reality of it is, even with the list that they've put together, I think it is probably there are places that we can do with less. And I guess what I'm trying to convey is there is not a concern here about needing more. We can pare down this list. The biggest problem is you don't have the ability to assess it this time of the year, you know. And we just barely got the work achieved before the snow got deep enough that you couldn't really know what's going on. So now we got to wait till spring to go back and say, well, you know, we maybe don't need that one here, or we can put a smaller one over there, or whatever. But I do not think, and I'm not an engineer, but I've spent the last year and a half of my life dealing with this stuff out there, and I've got a fairly good clue, and we had the guy who put in all the mapped all the culverts, who was a professional engineer in the first place, who has good knowledge of the area, that I think with the input we've had, I just, without taking up more of your time, want to say that I don't think we're going to need to worry about more. I think we can make do with what we got, and we can kind of do the priority list that Brian and company have put together, and we should be okay. So.
Thank you, Mr. Nemes. After hearing that and reflecting back on what Commissioner Noble said, I think the direction should be that when you do your bid process, you make that parallel item in the event, and then if priorities become a concern, you have that option. And if money's not a concern, we have no worries. I hope. So is that okay. Good?
Yes, it is. Thanks. That's
is that
guidance
clear, Brian?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah. Thanks, Mr. Noble, for that recommendation.
And then if we want to pause for a short moment, I can get Jeremiah on the line and we can have the discussion on that.
Yeah, I think that's good. We are, to let the audience know, we are going to be engaging Jeremiah Ryan from the WCCA with the discussion on the group proposal for workers' comp. So that conversation is scheduled for 10. We will wait till Mr. Gaffney has him on the line and we will continue at that point.
What's that?
There's choices for me to plug that into. I think I'm into that.
You
took it. Got a golf cart, huh?
Hey Jeremiah, this is Matt Gaffney from Sublette County. How are you? I'm great. Are you ready to chat with the commissioners? Okay, let me put you on speakerphone. Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can. And just to let you know, you are in open session. All five Sublette County commissioners are here. And we thank you for your time.
Yeah, happy to do it. Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning,
good morning,
Jeremiah.
Good morning.
How are you?
Great, thank you. Well, Matt, do you want me to just jump into things, or did you want to start with questions?
You know, maybe I'll just do a short introduction, and then, yeah, I'd like to give you the lion's share of the time.
Okay, sounds great.
So, commissioners, I had sent your questions off to Jeremiah. He thoughtfully and graciously replied to each and every one in terms of how many counties are going to be involved, the expected economic impact. And so I really thank Jeremiah for, again, his thoughtful responses to that. I also included the final agreement and resolution and certification about the program with your packet. I've worked closely with Clayton, and I thank him for his time. He's been invaluable to try and dial in and iron out some of these issues. And with that, I guess I would turn the floor over to you, Jeremiah, for thoughts, comments, nuggets of wisdom, whatever you think is appropriate.
Okay, well great. Again, good morning, commissioners. I think I'll just try and be brief and then leave it open to any questions that that you all might have. It relates to workers' compensation. As you may know, the state of Wyoming is a monopoly system in terms of the government having control, the state having control of that system. That's about par for the course, if you will, in terms of where other states are at. About half of the states have such a system. The others have some hybrid, which includes private entities offering that insurance. In 2015, the association, working with commissioners, was able to secure a change in state statute that allows for county governments to consolidate under a single workers' compensation framework. That was done for a couple of reasons. One, as you all know, as associations go, in order for us to provide services to you, we need financial resources. And of course, we would love to be even able to perhaps offer discounts in terms of dues so that there aren't continuous over time increases in dues. But another primary reason, or two primary reasons, were to cut down on the costs that you as employers bear at the county level, and then, of course, preeminent amongst all of the concerns, to ensure that we had a safer workplace for county employees. Right now, in terms of county employees across Wyoming, we have some troubling statistics to work against. Right now, about 40% of our workplace or our workers that enter into the workers' compensation system return to work. You compare that perhaps to North Dakota, which consolidated roughly 20 years ago, they are closer to 100% return to work rate. And then, of course, we have varying rates across the state in terms of premiums. And we know there are things that we can do together that we can't perhaps do separately. So, as you know, Pete had worked on a consolidated program for a number of years, following direction from your board of directors or my board of directors. I'm pursuing that and trying to move forward with that consolidation. I presented to you all at the Waco meeting a draft or at that time a resolution and certification that I was asking all of the counties to enter into, and also shared with you at that time the agreement, which is certainly connected to that resolution. We did have one or a couple of changes that we made to those documents based on some feedback that we got from a couple of counties, as well as the Attorney General's office and our own legal counsel, and now have a final document that we are asking for commissions to execute no later than 2 weeks from today. That's important for a couple of reasons. If we are to move forward, we need to have the direction from the commission so that we can hire staff. We do intend to hire one person to administer this program. That would be funded from the savings that would be generated from the consolidation, and I can just touch on that briefly. And please don't hold me to these numbers. I'm working on the final numbers, but I'm working roughly from the 2018 figures that Pete was given from the Department of Workforce Services. That consolidation, by every county coming together and the department offering the consolidation a 10% discount, will generate $280,000 worth of savings in the first fiscal year of operation. That money will be used to pay the salary and travel and expenses of that individual. I'm projecting that there will still be about $70,000 in revenue available for a variety of things. It can be reinvested back into the program. It could perhaps take the form, like it has in many other states, of checks back to counties, reduced dues, grants to counties for safety programs and the like. Really, that's a decision of the board that's set up under this program. I'm not a member of that board. It's made up of five county commissioners based on various levels of population. The other primary reason that we need to move forward, if we're going to, is the Department of Workforce Services will have to draft rules and regulations around the program. I do expect those are going to be simple, but nonetheless, it requires a process, and that process could take us up to the July 1st fiscal year date, and we need to be able to give them some confidence that the system is going to exist and that they can move forward with that process. We are pursuing and asking that all 23 counties join. It's not a requirement of statute as it was in North Dakota. But in order for the fiscal pieces to work out, as I've mentioned previously, we need to be as close or right at that 21 county level. I think I may have mentioned this in my notes to Matt, but I just want to point out that there are seven counties that are required based on the total payroll to be a member of the system, and it just so happens that Sublette County falls into that category, along with Teton, Sweetwater, Natrona, Campbell, and Laramie. And so your participation certainly is necessary in order for us to move this program forward. I don't say that to guilt you into any decision. I just am simply throwing it out there as one of the pieces of the equation. In terms of where we're at today on the consolidation and the counties that have joined, we have Lincoln, Park, Fremont County, Converse, Washakie, Albany, and Laramie all signed on. Hot Springs signed the previous version of the agreement, so I believe it's just simply a formality for them. I'm playing phone tag with their new commission chair. And there are a number of counties that are taking up the resolution today. I would say the vast majority of those that have not are taking it up today. I have been told that Niobrara, Campbell, Natrona, Sheridan, Johnson, all will take it up today, and they do anticipate signing on. So with that, I probably have skipped over details, but I'm happy to answer any questions that you have about the program.
Jeremiah, could you, this is David Burnett, could you list again, I guess, what be referenced to as the key players that are going to be required to participate? I think I got most of those, but I think you said Teton County, and in your further comments with regards to those counties taking action today, I did not hear Teton County's name mentioned. Is that correct?
Yes, Chairman Burnett, appreciate that. For clarification, those seven counties that fall into that upper tier, so those are counties with more than $10 million in payroll. Those seven counties are Teton, Sublette, Sweetwater, Fremont, Campbell, Laramie, and Natrona. And in terms of Teton County, I have spoken to their attorney and their HR director and a number of others, and the chairman there, of course, or chairwoman, and they will take the resolution up today.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have any questions for Jeremiah? Commissioner Bousman?
Jeremiah, this is Joel Bousman. I just want to say I've been following this since the inception of it. We've been talking about it a long time. We've made some tweaks in it. I think we've got it to the point that it's workable, and I appreciate all the work that you've done on it, as well as what Matt Gaffney has done on it, and it's my recommendation to this board that we support this resolution and make this decision today. I'm in favor of it. I'll wait to make a motion until see if there's any other comment.
Thank you, Commissioner Bousman. As chairman, I'm in favor of participation in this. I think it's something that's been talked about for several years. I think from the standpoint of the essential counties, that one of our purposes would be to consider helping the state as a whole and not just our county. The agreement does include a withdrawal article in the event we so decide to do, but I'm with Commissioner Bousman in support of this agreement with the WCCA.
Mr. Chairman, I agree wholeheartedly that we need to move forward with this agreement.
Okay. Any other
comment?
I'm okay to move forward, Mr. Chairman. I'm in favor of moving forward.
Jeremiah, we all have head shakes or comments indicating that we're in favor of this. So I would now consider a motion that we enter into this agreement with the Wyoming County Commissioners Association County Employers Group Workers' Compensation Agreement.
Mr. Chairman, I so move, and include, I'm assuming that the resolution, we need to adopt the resolution.
Yes,
today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I move that we do that as well as adopt the resolution.
So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We had a motion by Commissioner Bousman, second by Commissioner Rahauser, to approve the workers' compensation agreement as well as the resolution for Sublette County to participate in this. Is there any discussion? If not, I'll call the vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously, Jeremiah.
Well, that's great news. I really appreciate your support of the program. And if there are any questions today or in the future, let me know. I'll certainly follow up with you in terms of the outcome in the other various counties so that you have a status report on that following this week. I do expect that we may have at least one that'll wait up until that last meeting, but nonetheless, I will keep you posted.
All right, and I appreciate that, Jeremiah. I would also like to say that I appreciate the work that Matt Gaffney has done in conjunction with you in trying to bring this together, clarify it, and helping us move forward to it. And I appreciate the opportunity in the future that you may have to relay such information to Matt in order to facilitate getting that to us. So thanks to both of you.
Yep. And my thanks to Matt as well.
Thank you for your time, Jeremiah. We certainly appreciate it. And yes, I'm sure we'll be talking in the future.
My pleasure. All right. All right. Take care.
Have a good day.
Yep.
Okay, gentlemen, that's all I had for you. Is there anything that you gentlemen have for me?
I don't believe so, Mr. Chairman. There's
people have showed up. We kind of worked through our process rather rapidly. Just to catch you up on the owner's representative, we did select Todd Hurd and Forsgren. We had one application for the county health officer from Dr. Fitzsimmons, and his appointment was approved by the commission today. Mr. Gaffney will be getting in touch with him immediately, and I imagine his duties start today. Okay. Any questions or comments since you weren't here? Okay. Just want to catch you up because we passed you by. Moving right on along, and then want you to keep waiting. But thanks for coming.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, yes. I have a moment. I think Matt Gaffney has done an exemplary job in this position, and with that in mind, if it hasn't already been done, I think it's time for him to move forward without Ms. Graham involved. How does that sound? So I think the contract with her was we could vacate it whenever we felt comfortable. I feel very comfortable. And so I think it's time. I don't even know how much it has cost, but that's my recommendation now.
Okay. I don't know what the cost is because I don't think you have had to consult with her in that time frame. I'm not sure when that window closed, whether it was 6 months. I don't know what your feelings are, but if you're comfortable pursuing without that, then I think we can notify her, but I guess I'm deferring to you, Matt.
I am comfortable terminating the contract. I don't believe I've talked to Ms. Graham since November timeframe, somewhere along. I appreciate her assistance, but yeah, I have no concerns terminating the contract at this time.
Okay, so you will just follow up with
her? I'll confer with Clayton and make sure all the legal boxes are checked, but yes, I will. That contract can be terminated.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
God,
thanks,
so
gentlemen.
Sorry. Thank you.
Looks like we're going to take a little break.
Well, we've got quite a long break unless Mike can come.
We might get him in if he's available.
They were really long.
I know.
Yeah.
This is like a forever long break.
Well, Matt thought he was going to take.
Pardon?
Matt thought he was going to need an hour to hour and a half, and it didn't pan out that way.
Do you want to do the 2:30 one?
No, I'd rather do old business first.
Okay.
You guys want to proceed on with old business?
It's your call. Fine with me. I don't care.
We've got monthly reports and old business. What's your choice?
Mr. Chairman, I have nothing.
Yeah, I see that. Carrie, what does it matter in terms of how we jump ahead on this? Why don't we just go down the line and start with monthly reports and then proceed into old business if we can get that done before Matt's ready. It seems to me we have an hour and 20 minutes. So if we go down to 2 o'clock on the monthly reports, we have accounts payable. I would consider a motion for pay accounts payable as audited and a motion for approval of payment.
So moved.
Have a motion.
Second.
We have a second. Do we have any discussion?
I have a little question about the canine deal, and I'm not objecting. I'm just curious. It cost $27,000 for upgrading a canine unit. I'm curious to know what that involves. What that involved?
We'd need to talk to the sheriff.
Yeah,
I think. Let me know beforehand. I can make sure they're here to answer your questions, but that's not my area.
I think what you can say is that was in their budget and was approved by the sheriff. Mm-hmm. It'd be good to know.
Oh, yeah. I'm just curious to know. Yeah. I'm not objecting to it. I'm just curious to know.
Okay. You have any other questions? If not, we have a motion and a second. I'll call for the vote. All in favor of approving the accounts payable for payment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Well, I need a motion to pass resolution number 20-100-377B. Now, this is a real estate variance thing that had to do with the El Zimbo Ranch presented by Claire Taylor, and it was approved at our December 3rd meeting. So if I can have a motion to approve resolution 20-100-377B.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. Our next item on the agenda under monthly reports is we have a request from Judge Hawes to approve Christopher Lay as a circuit court magistrate. Do we have a motion to approve that appointment per Judge Hawes?
So moved. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
So, I don't know Christopher Lee. Does anybody else? I'd like to meet the gentleman before we set him in a position to judge others, and I'm not objecting. I just like to meet him to see what he is, ask him a question or two. Is that not a doable thing?
I don't know if it's doable. I don't know that it's necessary. I guess what we're doing is acting on the request from the judge. I think it's up to the judge to make the determination where the individual meets the criteria that he requires in his circuit court. But I appreciate the question. You might ask that to direct to Judge Hawes in the future. I don't think that, in my personal opinion speaking, that's reason not to go ahead and take action on the request from the judge. And I don't know how you guys feel.
Mr. Chairman, I don't feel we have any legal expertise on this board to stick our nose into this kind of business, and I think it's up to the judge. As far as I'm concerned, I'll approve whoever he appoints.
Okay.
assuming he's qualified to make that appointment, because we darn sure are not.
Any other comment?
Mr. Chairman, I just support whatever Judge Hawes recommends on any issue that comes to us.
Okay. And gentlemen, if I may, Mr. Chairman, just as a point of clarification procedurally, so you all were aware of your role in this process, by no means is it to say don't follow the recommendation of Judge Hawes. By all means, that is where it's at. So if we think of the process by which judges are appointed in the state of Wyoming, because realistically a magistrate is akin to and essentially a cousin to that process, somewhat as a subsidiary of the judge that's appointed through the judicial appointing process. In Wyoming, we have a judicial nominating committee that receives applications from attorneys who have a desire to become judges. That judicial nominating committee is comprised of a variety of people that have a broad scope of experiences, not just legal authority or legal experience, community members, so on and so forth. Then once that commission decides on their top three individuals, they submit that grouping to the governor, and the governor then chooses from those three. In your role as county commissioners, you essentially sit in somewhat of an amalgamation of a legislative and an executive position. So in this respect, you're acting as the executive. You're not developing rules, you're not developing protocols or regulations for use of land, so on and so forth. Here, you are acting as the executive. So the five of you together are as if you were the governor. Now, in this respect, now our current governor is not a lawyer. The last few we have had have been lawyers, but that position of governor is called upon to make that decision because of the experiences of that person and their desires and their needs, what they see are the needs of the state and the constituents within that state. So realistically, in this position, yes, by all means, follow the recommendation of Judge Hawes if you would like, but you are acting as the executive for your county, for your constituents, as to who the person is that will be sitting in that position as magistrate. So again, not a call on or not a judgment as to saying yes, follow Judge Hawes' recommendation or not, but realistically, with all due respect, Commissioner Bousman, it is your job to look at that for the purposes of not having that legal experience. And so frankly, if you feel that it's important for the constituents here in Suffolk County that you all meet this person, by all means table it and do that. But I will of course defer to you all. I just want to make sure that you all were aware of the procedural matter of how this all works and your role within it. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And I would just like to say that Judge Hawes, in terms of making this appointment, stated the following: Mr. Lay is a very talented and experienced attorney that has acted faithfully and well for a number of courts. That's his recommendation, and those are the, I guess, the criteria that he used in making that recommendation. So I appreciate your comment, but if we have no more discussion, I will call for the vote because we have a motion and a second to approve Judge Hawes' appointment of Christopher Lay as a circuit court magistrate.
Mr. Chairman, I have one thing to say, and it comes across all different subjects, but this is one that I believe in my case. The Peter principle is huge, and so consequently, I need someone else to help me, and that is Judge Hawes.
Any other comment? If not, we have a motion and a second. As stated, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries 4-1. Okay, we have Emily Parvacini has presented to us the following individuals for bond approval. We have Elizabeth Cheney as bookkeeper, Sublette County Recreation Board. Excuse me on the pronunciation, it's Tyler Bergen.
I think so.
Treasurer, Boulder Lake Ranch Improvement Road. Keith Gingrey, Treasurer, Bosse's Region 5. And Sandra Wright, Treasurer, Redstone, Upper Green River Improvement District. I would consider a motion to approve the bond.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I think she added one more in there after the budget, after the agenda was set. It's in there in the stack. Not in your scale, it's in the, that one that's fine.
Deborah Vickery.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fifth one to consider for bond approval is put forward as Deborah Vickery for, is it the Boulder Irrigation District?
I don't remember.
Because this says County of Boulder Irrigation District, and I don't,
Boulder.
I think it's Boulder Irrigation District. So if I could have a motion to approve bonds on Elizabeth Cheney, Tyler Bergen, Keith Gingrey, Sandra Wright, and Deborah Vickery.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
So we have a motion and a second on approving the aforementioned surety bonds. Is there any discussion? If not, I'll signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Does have
NOVCs,
so we should
continue. Okay. It would help in the future when looking at these bonds, because they're all pieced together, if we could just have a tab where we're supposed to sign. The official bond and oath is where we're supposed to sign. I take it. Thank you. Okay, I think you'll find five spots on there.
This stuff go through it, huh? Let Max start.
I can go through it, put the tabs on it, bring it later if you want.
Okay. All right.
And Janessa's will need to come back this afternoon.
Yeah, that's fine. So we're in the old business. I think Clayton, you have for something for us under old business with regards to that contract for T-Town Youth Services.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, may I approach?
Yes.
Here is the contract for that. I've been in touch with Sarah Caravallo on that. We've worked out some of the details. Been in touch with Sheriff Lear as well. It's all up to speed. Looks good from our office. So what this does is this is a, it contains a piece of retroactivability. I don't know. Sorry. My mouth isn't working this great this morning. But the idea is that they've been working since on this contract or this agreement since July moving forward. And the way the contract works is essentially is that the commission has decided that their fees up to a limit, a cap of $45,000 are to be paid on the work that they do. They submit their invoices, so on and so forth. So this agreement essentially memorializes that oral agreement, so to speak, because we have not had a written agreement with Teton Youth and Family Services. It memorializes the oral agreement up to this point and therefore will allow for the payment of the work performed up to this point. Just so how it goes this year, that $45,000 cap has already been met at this point in the fiscal year, and we are just barely tipping over the halfway point in the fiscal year. And in conversations with her, I would anticipate that in June or in the months leading up, that they will request an opportunity to come before the commission to ask for a different pay arrangement on that. The arrangement in the years past has been, as I understand it, and of course, Mr. Gaffney can correct me, and of course you all probably can as well, that has always been somewhat of a, that once they reach a cap, the Suffolk County does not pay anymore once the cap has been reached. The cap has increased, I think recently, about three or four years ago, the cap increased from 40,000 to 45. Over the last few years, the county has not required that level of services. And in years past, we have not crossed that $45,000 limit. Given the fact that this year we are, I'm anticipating I'll come back and see about another arrangement, whether that be an increase to the cap or simply payment for services as they go. And then ultimately that will be up to the commission to decide. But for today's purposes, for this contract, it's memorializing the agreement that was already put in place. And moving forward in July, we'll talk about a new one.
Okay, so with this particular contract, this is something that we've already approved. The contract for services with Teton Youth, it's something that you have been working out with in terms of developing a signable contract, and you are satisfied with this document.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I rambled a bit, but yeah. You're exactly right. That is exactly what we're doing. The commission has already approved this agreement. We essentially reduced it to writing, and now it is ready to sign. Rock and roll.
So we do not need a motion for approval because we've already approved entered into a contract. You have just approved the contract from your point with the county attorney's office and T-Town Youth Services.
That is correct. Thank
okay.
you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any questions?
So I do. Did I understand you correctly that in the past we've not reached the cap, but all of a sudden in a half a year we have reached the cap?
Yes, Commissioner McCreary, and I have I asked the logical follow-up question as to why she thinks that is, and she did not have a concrete answer. Sometimes we end up with more kids that in the county that need services, and this just happens to be a year where we have, and of course we from the county attorney's office cannot go into detail and talk about juvenile cases and different things that are happening like that due to our restrictions. We're bound to confidentiality through Title 14. But the fact of the matter is there this year is we've got a lot of kids receiving services.
They kept out last year.
What's that?
They
oh, they did cap out last year? Okay. Okay, and I must not, I just must not be remembering exactly what years.
So what happens if we have kids that need the service and they've already capped out the money?
So the way they move forward, and that is a good question. I hope everybody can hear me. I'm a little far away from the microphone, but the way it works, my understanding from their direction, is that they have, my understanding is that they have a variety of other funding streams, and they essentially just rely on those other funding streams, whether it be other grants that they receive, whether from that be from government entities or private entities, or individuals through private fundraising to cover those services. So if I'm kind of hearing what you're asking is, yes, you know, if we hit cap, who's paying for it?
Thank you.
And I think it specifically says, it specifically says in the contract that under the terms that for a cost above $45,000 that Teton Youth Services will utilize other funding opportunities.
Correct.
To pay for those.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Any other questions? So you're satisfied with this contract. That's your job to tell us it's a good contract.
Yes, and okay. I'm sorry. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. I guess this goes to Gary or you?
Well, I need to get their signatures first, and then I'll go.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Clayton. Still being well ahead, I think we'll move on to old business. Commissioner Noble, would you like to start us on old business?
Met with the Lee Ditch Group. Conversation is going to come up after lunch. Also met with the BOCES and the CWC president, discussions there. And then Chad Cooper and I went to Cheyenne to support the fire and road and bridge grant. The day before, we met with Ed Buchanan and Christy Ranchez.
Racines.
Can't ever get that right. And Buck Mavea, the chief of staff for the governor. Another Mike Reed and Bill Crapster, just to feel out the atmosphere for the grant. They were all very supportive. Went to the SLIB hearings the next day. For the most part off. For the most part, it went off without a hitch. All five elected officials supported it completely. And we were awarded $1 million towards the fire station in Daniel.
Sounds like very good news.
It was. It was a great thing that we went down the day before, too, to meet with some of the elected officials. And Chad was extremely well-known down there and looked up on, highly.
Did you learn anything else?
I learned that some of the questions that come up where Doug had made some phone calls, it sounds like, in regards to the grant and his concerns. They all asked what his intent was, and I said he did not support it.
Thank you for that.
So what you're saying is, Commissioner Vicker, you called folks on the SLIB board to express your opposition to this grant moving forward?
I did.
Okay.
Because I'm not, it's not been an issue with anybody, except me apparently, that we do not need to spend money for an unneeded fire station.
I understand, but I guess what I'm going to get into and open this discussion, it's one of the things I was going to delve into this afternoon. When the commission submitted this grant. When the commission voted to submit this grant, the motion to submit the grant was passed 4-1. And I know that you were opposed to the motion. You made that clearly known. I guess the concern I have moving forward is when the commission, as the commission operates, it operates under the premise of majority rule. When the commission has reached a decision, even though one or more may be in that minority portion of that decision, the majority decision then becomes the rule of the board, and every member is then expected to accept the majority decision of the board. And I say that because it's conflicting as we made a decision in majority fashion to approve this, to then have you call the state elected officials and voice your opposition, which when the board has already taken a vote and made a majority decision on that.
Now, may I respond?
Absolutely.
Thank you. So, as a taxpayer, I think I have an obligation, not as a commissioner, but as a taxpayer, to voice a concern. That is exactly what I did as a taxpayer. Not once did I say I'm a county commissioner. I said I'm a taxpayer, and I have to respect my concerns as a taxpayer when these issues arise. Granted, I'm sitting on a commission, but not once did I say, this is Commissioner Vickery, this is Doug Vickery from Daniel, Wyoming, and I explained my perspective on what I perceive to be an unneeded expense of funding from Sublette County, period.
And I understand that. I don't know that you can separate yourself as a taxpayer and a commissioner because you are elected to the commission. And I will say that as a member of this organization or of any board, it is expected that you abide by the proposed rules of operation. If we do not have them set in stone, perhaps this afternoon we can. But the point I'm trying to make is that as a member of any board that you choose to belong to, that board operates with a certain rule of understanding that when there is action to be taken and when there is a majority decision made, that it is to become the decision of the board. Now, prior to that action being taken, you are certainly, or anybody is at liberty to express opposing opinions, trying to use arguments of persuasion in terms of dealing with that during the appropriate time. However, once there is the vote is called and the commission has made a decision, you are expected to follow the majority opinion of the board, as is anybody else on this board.
So here's my response to that. I was elected by a constituency out there. The constituency in some numbers has called me and said, we do not need that. So I am obligated, I believe, also to follow the constituency that put me here and to help alleviate their concerns over an unnecessary expenditure of part of their money.
Commissioner Vickery, we are all responsible to the constituents and citizens of this county. We are responsible to those that didn't vote for us, as well as we are responsible to those that did vote for us. With regards to what you said, I understand the constituents' opinion, and you expressed your views when we had oppositional views, persuasions, whatever, leading up to that vote. And you did express those. So you did express what you thought was the majority of the constituents that you heard for. However, and I don't say this disrespectfully, we are the ones that vote and make the decisions. And I'm saying that as this board moves forward, that it will be expected that all of us choose to follow certain rules of order, which include a majority decision of this board.
I'm going to respond one more time, and this is what I'm going to say. Early on in this issue with the Daniel Fire Hall, I looked you square in the eye and I said, Dr. Burnett, I'm going to do whatever I can to not let this happen. Do you recall that conversation?
I do, but we hadn't taken a vote at that time.
Well, it shouldn't have made any difference. You knew what I was going
to
do.
Well, it does make a difference, Doc, and that's the point I'm trying to make. It makes a very big difference in the operation of this board that we are able to follow certain rules or procedures of order. And I will, and I can see that being a point of contestment. I'd like to raise it now because I see, based on your opinion, it's probably going to come up in the future. Now, I would like the opportunity to hear from the other commissioners on this because I'm speaking as a chairman trying to follow certain rules or what I'll be talking about this afternoon in terms of parliamentary procedure that governs the way in which we operate.
If you guys have anything to say.
Have right at it. I'll put my phone up now because I am through.
Mr. Chairman, I think my concern is that, Commissioner Vickery, you talk about tax dollars. You talk about your constituents, but you're opposed to the state giving us $1 million. That's it. It's $1 million. They're going to write us a check for $1 million to better our fire department in the state here in the county. Now, you always are saying, is it a need or is it a want? This seems to be something you just don't want. And you said that the day you became a county commissioner. The first county commissioner's meeting, you said, I am opposed to the Daniel Fire Hall. So it looks to me like you made up your mind before you ever became a county commissioner. And so to what Dr. Burnett just said, when you have an opposition to a project, you have the opportunity to try to sway the rest of the commissioners to your side of thinking. I have absolutely no problems with that. But I have never received a phone call from you to say, can we talk about the Daniel Fire Hall? All you say is, I received a phone call here or I received a phone call there. So I guess the part I don't understand, and I'll say one more thing. The money has been set aside, and it was set aside. Joel, maybe you can tell me, when did we do this? And maybe I wasn't. It's been a lot of years ago.
6 years.
So at that time, there were 6 county commissioners. Commissioner Nelson, Commissioner Latta, Commissioner Bowsman, and the 4 of us, I believe, are in favor of the fire hall. So the vote is 4-1 at this time. But if we brought the others in and let them vote, it would be 6-1. So I guess my question is, you've made up your mind and you're not willing to listen. And not so much change, but you've got your mind made up. That's the way it is. That's the way it's going to be.
All right, Commissioner Rawhauser, I'll ask you the same thing. Have you got your mind made up to build it?
Not necessarily.
Yes,
because
you do.
Well, no, wait a minute, Doug. Don't say yes, you do. Because we don't know if we're going to build a fire hall and we're going to put an attachment on it with the county shop. But that was part of the blueprints. That was part of the. Am I correct, Tom? What you're going to say is that's part of the slip board $1 million.
I want to point that out. Yes.
Yes.
When you're done.
Sure. But that's just the things that I've read and everything like that. But I've been listening. I've not been ranting and raving, and I sure as hell haven't called anybody from the state to try to go behind everybody's back to squelch a $1 million project for the Sublette County taxpayers.
Well, that's not the concern, Mr. Rauhauser. The concern is that the $1 million leads to another $4, $5, $6, $7 million down the road that certainly will come from the coffers of Sublette County. The other thing, if one moment, I said I'd shut up, and I guess I should. The other thing, too, is this thing has been put together as a combination road and bridge, and we've heard Billy say he doesn't want anything to do with it. So we're using part of this. We are using part of this as a pry to get the thing out there. And if you go out there and look at the footprint that it's going to take, it's bigger than, or as big as, the county shop down here. So that's all I'm saying is, if we're going to spend it, spend it the way it's supposed to be. I know it's already a done deal. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Am I gonna be jump up and say yay, let's go? No, I'm not, right? Because I don't.
I understand that, okay. But the thing I'm starting to get worked up about, Doug, is this thing about you making the phone calls to the state behind our back, because you don't want it.
That's right, I don't want it. And the people that
you're abusing your power, Doug. You're becoming an obstructionist on that, on anything. How many times have you voted nay today?
I think we'll call for order.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm done.
I'd like to hear if Commissioner Bowsman or Commissioner Noble have anything to say.
Mr. Chairman, I do think it might help in this situation to formally adopt some code of parliamentary procedure. The only thing I can say, and I've served on a lot of boards, local boards, state boards, different levels of, I've served on a lot of boards over the years, local boards, state level boards, and it's always been the working relationship of a board that once a decision is made, does not mean if you're opposed to the decision that you have to then agree to the decision, but what it does mean is you do not, as an individual, try and undermine the majority of opinion of the board that you're a part of. And when that happens, and we can see it happening right here before our very eyes, it tends to cause a board that then becomes, the term I will use, is dysfunctional. And that is not in the best interest of the taxpayers, to have a dysfunctional board. And so I think it would be helpful maybe to adopt those. I'm familiar with them. It's every board I've ever been on works. Only one time was I ever on a board that works strictly with Robert's Rules of Order, and that hamstrings you to the point that you have to have a parliamentarian to get anything done. But we've always operated, the boards I've been on, under a standard code of parliamentary procedure, and it will point out in that book what I'm talking about. So that's all I've got to say. I don't want to see this board become so dysfunctional that any time any one of us opposes a majority of the board, that then we set out to undermine the board's decision. That's not the way to do business.
Commissioner Noble.
I'd like to jump back into SLED business in general. So during the SLED board hearings, it was really obvious that all these applications they looked at were not a slam dunk. And when we got to the fire/road bridge building, it was unanimously supported, and it was throughout all our conversations the day before supported extremely well. And the comments that I heard is we have a fire, unified fire in Sublette County, second to none in the state, and it's really highly looked upon. And I'd say that was a lot of the reason that they were so unanimous in this decision. And one of the comments made by the board member, Christine, the state auditor, said that she really appreciated the fact that Sublette County had tied the road and bridge building to the fire station to take care of two problems with one fell swoop. They all look very highly on that also. So this project does include those both at this point, because that's what the grant application was for. And on another thing, if the board agrees, I would like to ask Matt if he would write a letter to the SLIP board members and just thanking them for their gratitude on behalf of Sublette County.
I think that would be appropriate.
Because it was clear as day that everybody in Cheyenne supported this very highly.
I think it's fairly significant and worth noting, Matt, that not only in an era of declining revenues have they agreed to partially fund this project to the tune of $1 million. I think it's also worthy to note that this would be the second SLIP board grant that we've gotten in a year, the other grant being for $360,000 for a fire apparatus, which I think for Sublette County is a notable accomplishment. And I think, as Commissioner Noble stated, we ought to be sending a letter of deep appreciation to the SLIP board for their continued consideration and support of projects in Sublette County.
Thank you, Matt. That's, I believe with that, that okay. Wraps up my O. Do we want to move forward as a commission and give Shad permission to put it out to bid to see what the numbers do come back with so we know where we're going with this?
I think that with the recent action taken by the SLIP board, with the intent that we will accept this money and move forward, I would entertain a motion that we give Shad approval to move forward with requesting RFPs on this project.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? If not, all signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
I believe that wraps up my portion of this.
Okay, we're on old business. Commissioner Dicker, do you have anything for old business?
No, I do not.
Okay, Commissioner
Bowser. I have nothing. Nope, okay. I'm good.
Commissioner Bowser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was on a follow-up conference call concerning Good Neighbor Authority. Chad and I had a call with the state forester and the Forest Service. We're moving forward with that. In relation to GNA, there's a bill out, will be a bill coming up in the legislature. Doesn't have a number yet, sponsored by Representative Lindholm, and Albert Summers will be co-sponsoring this bill. What the bill does, it creates state forestry, within state forestry, a good neighbor authority revolving account for all federal forestry projects and that we're using good neighbor authority with. What it does, it creates a place to put the proceeds from a timber sale to where they're not intermingled within the state forester's budget with other monies that could cause issues with the governor's office and the legislature. So it sets up the fund. It gives the state forester the authority to hire additional, in one part of the bill it says hire additional employees as necessary to conduct good neighbor authority projects. And then it qualifies that by saying not more than one full-time and four at-will employees. What it means by at-will would be four contract employees. Albert will be putting, Representative Summers will be adding language to that bill based on my suggestion and based on WCCA's suggestion that you give counties the authority to participate in this fund if they choose to. So if you had for example, a county project you were wanting to do that and the county wanted to help fund part of a position, you could do it through that mechanism. So that seems to be a win-win for the use of good neighbor authority for both the state and the county. I was also on a call with with the national administration in regards to the CEQ regulations on redoing the National Environmental Policy Act. A couple of the key components of that will be to reduce the time it takes to do an EIS to 2 years, to reduce the time it takes to do an EA to 1 year. There's a lot more to it than that, but they're just starting the process on that. Counties will be involved in that as it goes forward, and Matt is aware of it, as well as our Bailey with WCCA will be participating in that. Another meeting in regards to roadless in Alpine. In regards to Sublette County, we identified two areas that need to be addressed in terms of redrawing the roadless map. That is a pretty minimal way to fix some of the issues we've had. As an example, our gravel pit on Fish Creek, right along the highway there by across from the turnoff to Hoback Ranches, is in roadless, as well as some campgrounds just up that road a little ways that are along the side of the road. When that original map was drawn, it appears that somebody had a crayon a little bit bigger than their fist that they were using to draw that map, and they actually designated roadless areas that were roadless. We're trying to do this in a way that does not trigger a rulemaking by the Forest Service, because we don't want to go down that road at this time. So we had two areas in Sublette County that are concerns. That's one of them. The other one is if you go up the Moose Jip Road, there's some subdivisions up there that there's a pretty serious need to do some fuels work to reduce the risk of wildfire in some of those areas. And the Pinedale District Ranger pointed that out as another area where we want to do a very minimal redrawing of the map, and that would give us the ability to do some fuels work up along that road in places. It appears we have the support of all the way up to USDA to make some minor changes, although we've got strong opinions from the DC area that we don't want to do something that's going to trigger a rulemaking. We want to choose some small areas we can be successful, redraw the map, have successful projects, and then move on from there. I think the only other thing I want to let everybody know is our Fire Chief Shad Cooper has been appointed to the State Fire Advisory Board, pretty crucial position in the state of Wyoming, and it's a reflection of his leadership ability statewide. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Any other old business from the commission? I don't have anything specifically to report under old business. I think we'll take a brief recess. We're not due for Mike Christie till 11:30. Perhaps we can get Mike to come in sooner, but we'll take a short recess until we can hear from Mike.
We're going to be pretty much back on schedule, aren't we? I'm thinking of Garvey.
This will be good. We still have that 1:30 item in the water.
Okay, yeah, so that'll be fine.
We have the orchid season, and we still have that thing from Gilchrist on the...
Oh, Clint, yes.
So that's going to take... We'll still be at 3 o'clock.
Sure.
Which,
yep.
Sorry if I was running too much there.
The superintendent wants to come and thank us for the sanding machine. Oh, and I told him that I looked at the schedule and I said, you know, he could be here at 2 o'clock.
He could actually show up anytime.
Well, I know, but I think what he's planning on doing is coming here and then going home to Jackson.
Oh, I see.
He drives to the Hoback Junction. every day.
Increase request.
And has for almost 30 years.
Sure, who'd be there?
Not really. Yep. That sounds about right.
He was a special ed teacher, our special ed director.
And he's your superintendent.
He's our superintendent now.
And he lives in
Hoback Junction.
Hoback Junction?
Yep.
That'll be hard.
And that I can remember, never missed a day of school. And
I'm surprised he hadn't got caught in a snowslide.
Oh, I think he has, you know, one way or the other.
He still got here, though.
He still got here. Oh, yeah.
Maybe a little late.
Yeah.
To do it themselves.
What would you say, two tedious to do it?
Well, they don't want to do it. They don't have the.
They don't do workers' comp?
They don't, they don't, they find it too tedious. They don't have the professional staff to do it. So they're going to hire someone to do a conglomerate to do it. But every employer in Wyoming with three or more employees has to comply with workers' comp. But the counties can't?
Well, I think they can. I think they're looking at getting a group rate and trying to work with risk management.
No, they're trying to pawn off people with good rates like Sutton County.
Sure, sure, sure. And we raised that
it's
concern.
It's a Robin Hood thing.
Well, we raised that concern 2 years ago. It just it appears
and it's
now
still there.
That our rates aren't quite as, we've had more claims and we can't quite make that decision.
It just chaps my butt that employers have to deal with it, but counties can't be bothered to.
We dealt with it forever.
Exactly.
We've done a good job.
Right. Sure. But, you know, they sit there and say, well, workers' comp is really easy. We try to make it as low. But now the counties can't handle it. I'm like, really? But you expect employers to deal with it? You know, an employer that I may own a construction company and my main job isn't dealing with your paperwork, but you're taking
workers' comp. I ran a business.
Exactly,
too,
and you're a doctor.
Yeah.
And your precious time as a doctor at however many $100 an hour gets deviated in filing paperwork.
Yeah.
And now you've got the county saying, we don't want to be bothered with it. I'm like, what the hell? Something's wrong with workers' comp that they're not making it easy enough for people to use. That's awful. That's my rant. I'm done. Everyone else gets to rant today. I get to.
But you feel better.
I do.
That's good. That's
hey,
good.
I didn't rant. I pontificated.
You pontificated.
A big difference.
I ranted.
I'm happy to rant.
You can yourself bloviate.
Just saying. Workers' comp should be made easier. And they sit there and say, we're making it as easy as possible for people, but 23 counties feel like they can't be bothered with it. It's too difficult. How is the employer with three employees supposed to deal with it? I'm sorry. That's my rant.
No, there's a lot to it.
You're looking at someone who filled out way too much workers' comp paperwork in my life.
I don't know enough about it.
That's because you've never been an employer. Just saying. Ready?
That's right. How are you doing?
I'm great. Especially when I get to rant.
Even better, huh?
Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Doing good.
How's that grandbaby?
Pardon?
How's that grandbaby?
I haven't seen her for a little bit. I don't think she's walking yet.
Yeah? How old is she now?
Let's see.
Don't ask grandpa's how old they are.
5 months?
5 months?
5 months.
Like you're ways from walking out.
She's not walking.
Yeah. She's not even crawling at this point, probably. Maybe scooting.
I think that's where she's at. Yeah. But she's doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's not talking. She's talking in baby words, whatever that stuff is that they gurgle out, you know.
I have
a lot of activity. We see that on the video. Kelsey sends us this update almost every day.
Oh, good.
Of some of the stuff that she's doing, you know, and pretty active. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is such
hair's
a great
growing. You can see that from, well, not from day to day, but from like week to week, you can see a little more color in her hair. So, you know, everything's good.
And babies are awesome.
Yeah.
You gotta love it once they get past the fish stage.
Right. The fish stage.
The first couple of months, it's like as much fun watching as it is watching.
Oh, yeah.
Goldfish.
Well, I always tell people, my friends that are excited to have babies, I always kind of take the data aside and I say, you realize there is no return on investment for
yes.
at least 9 months.
More than likely ever.
Well, but you get a little bit. You start getting some return. Not that it outweighs that. Not that you ever get your, you don't recoup that investment. But
the first 2 months, you don't even get smiles. All you do is get puke and...
That's all you get. Like, there is no return on the investment.
Who did I have a young couple, and they referred to their baby as the drunk that lives with us, that pukes and sleeps all the time. Yeah. Yeah, the drunk roommate. That's how they referred to their baby.
Wow, yeah, well,
dysfunctional roommate.
It's certainly not too far off base.
I always get a kick out of that. Second one's so much easier.
Yeah,
what a, that's like Santa Claus is real.
First and second were fine. After that, you just kind of fit him in. Mm-hmm. First one is a major life change. The second one's kind of a life change. After that, they just kind of... I had a friend with 8 kids, and she said, the first one was hard, the second one was a little bit. And after that, you just... I'm like, 8?
8.
Hell no.
Hardest number.
Thank you. It's not too bad for an old guy.
I'll get away. You still got hair, and it's not all gray, man.
And they're good.
That's a lot more than what it used to be.
I know, but at least you have a lot more.
I'm still keeping mine. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have one cousin who started losing his hair in his 20s, and he's completely bald, but the rest of us still kind of have hair. So. We get by.
I'm sorry.
I see guys with
my hair. Well,
I determined to be a lot of hair.
Yeah, I said that to
him. They never come to the house.
And he keeps his really short.
I've never seen him with the same girl twice.
It's a little bit longer in the winter, but not much. Some would say they're doing it right.
My girl's hair over my ears. I come across the girl, and I start to look like a... whatever it is I look like, so I have to make an appointment to get that trim down.
Right.
So far they haven't given me the
it's a different ball game out there.
The old person discount of that sense. It still costs as much as this as it does if that whole darn thing.
Right?
Yeah.
That's not right.
AARP discount or something like that.
Yeah.
Like doing half my head, it's only taking me half the time. How about we cut those rings?
Or, you know, and you sit there and there's your quote. Well, we have this.
Well, yeah, it's
a 20-year-old
part of the
whatever
genetic process, I guess.
I know.
Both my brothers have less hair than I.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I guess I feel fortunate.
Right.
I have work.
Well, I have
to fight.
No. I guess I better get some coffee.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike, it's 11:30. We're getting close.
Making progress.
How much snow is there?
You know, we've got a new... My brother built a cool little snow tail. And it says 18 inches. As it's, I hope it doesn't get to the top. I think it goes to 36.
I wanted to. Thank you for
yeah.
Oh.